Silver Box, Scene 2. The Barthwicks' dining room, the same evening. The Barthwicks are seated at dessert. John! John!
I wish you'd speak about the nuts. They're uneatable.
It's not the season for them. I called on the Holyroods.
Crackers, please, Dad.
Lady Holyrood has got very stout. I've noticed it coming for a long time.
Stout? The Holyroods had some trouble with their servants, hadn't they?
Crackers, please, Dad.
It got into the papers. The cook, wasn't it?
No, the lady's maid. I was talking it over with Lady Holyrood. The girl used to have her young man to see her.
I'm not sure they were wise.
My dear John, what are you talking about? How could there be any alternative? Think of the effect on the other servants.
Of course, in principle, I wasn't thinking of that.
Crackers, please, Dad.
Lady Holyrood told me. I had her up. She said, I said to her, you'll leave my house at once. I think your conduct disgraceful. I can't tell, I don't know, and I don't wish to know what you were doing. I send you away on principle. You need not come to me for a character. And the girl said, if you don't give me my notice, my lady, I want a month's wages. I'm perfectly respectable. I've done nothing. Done nothing. Servants have too much license. They hang together so terribly, you can never tell what they're really thinking. It's as if they were all in a conspiracy to keep you in the dark. Even with Marlowe, you feel that he never lets you know what's really in his mind. I hate that secretiveness. It destroys all confidence. I feel sometimes I should like to shake him.
Marlowe's a most decent chap. It's simply beastly everyone knowing your affairs.
The less you say about that, the better.
It goes all through the lower classes. You cannot tell when they are speaking the truth. Today, when I was shopping after leaving the Holyroods, one of these unemployed came up and spoke to me. I suppose I only had 20 yards or so to walk to the carnage, but he seemed to spring up in the street.
Ah, you must be very careful whom you speak to in these days.
I didn't answer him, of course, but I could see at once that he wasn't telling the truth.
There's one very good rule. Look at their eyes.
Crackers, please, Dad.
If their eyes are straightforward, I sometimes give them sixpence. It's against my principles, but it's most difficult to refuse. If you see that they're desperate, and dull, and shifty-looking, as so many of them are, it's certain to mean drink, or crime, or something unsatisfactory.
This man had dreadful eyes. He looked as if he could commit a murder. I've had nothing to eat today, he said, just like that.
What was William about? He ought to have been waiting.
Is this the 63, Dad?
I hate people that can't speak the truth. It's just as easy to speak the truth as not. I've always found it easy enough. It makes it impossible to tell what is genuine. One feels as if one were continually being taken in.
The lower classes are their own enemies. If they would only trust us, they would get on so much better.
But even then, it's so often their own fault. Look at that Mrs. Jones this morning.
I only want to do what's right in that matter. I had occasion to see Roper this afternoon. I mentioned it to him. He's coming in this evening. It all depends on what the detective says. I've had my doubts. I've been thinking it over.
The woman impressed me most unfavorably. She seemed to have no shame, that affair she was talking about. She and the man, when they were young, so immoral, and before you and Jack. I could have put her out of the room.
Oh, I don't want to excuse them, but in looking at these matters, one must consider...
Perhaps you'll say the man's employer was wrong in dismissing him?
Of course not. It's not there that I feel doubt. What I ask myself is...
Port, please, Dad.
I ask myself whether we are sufficiently careful in making inquiries about people before we engage them, especially as regards moral conduct.
Pass the port, please, Mother.
My dear boy, aren't you drinking too much?
Detective Snow to see you, sir.
Say I'll be with him in a minute.
Let him come in here, Marlowe.
Oh, good evening. Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am. I've called round to report what I've done. Rather late, I'm afraid. Another case took me away. This is the identical article, I believe.
Certainly, certainly.
Having your crest and cipher as you described to me, sir, I'd no hesitation in the matter.
Excellent. Will you have a glass of, sherry? Jack, just give Mr. Snow this.
After seeing you, I went round to this woman's lodgings, sir. It's a low neighborhood, and I thought it as well to place a constable below, and not without he was wanted, as things turned out.
Indeed.
Yes, sir, I had some trouble. I asked her to account for the presence of the article. She could give me no answer except to deny the theft. So I took her into custody. Then her husband came for me, so I was obliged to take him, too, for assault. He was very violent on the way to the station. Very violent. Threatened you and your son. And altogether, he was a handful, I can tell you.
What a ruffian he must be.
Yes, ma'am. A rough customer.
Punch the beggar's head.
Given to drink, as I understand, sir.
It's to be hoped he will get a severe punishment.
The odd thing is, sir, that he persists in saying he took the box himself.
Took the box himself? What does he think to gain by that?
He says the young gentleman was intoxicated last night. Took him into the house and gave him whiskey, and under the influence of an empty stomach, the man says he took the box.
The impudent wretch.
Do you mean that he, intends to put this forward tomorrow?
That'll be his line, sir, but whether he's endeavoring to shield his wife, or whether there's something in it, will be for the magistrate to say.
Something in what? I don't understand you, as if my son would bring a man like that into the house.
My son can speak for himself, no doubt. Well, Jack, what do you say?
What does he say? Why, of course, he says the whole story's stuff.
Well, of course I don't know anything about it.
I should think not, indeed. The man is an audacious ruffian.
But in view of my son's saying there's nothing in this fable, will it be necessary to proceed against the man under these circumstances?
We shall have to charge him with the assault, sir. It would be as well for your son to come down to the court. There'll be a remand, no doubt. The queer thing is there was quite a sum of money found on him, and a crimson silk purse. I suppose the lady hasn't missed her purse?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No!
No. I've been inquiring of the servants. This man does hang about the house. I shall feel much safer if he gets a good, long sentence. I do think we ought to be protected against such ruffians.
Yes, yes, of course, on principle, but in this case we have a number of things to think of. I suppose, as you say, the man must be charged, eh?
No question about that, sir.
This prosecution goes very much against the grain with me. I have great sympathy with the poor. In my position, I'm bound to recognize the distress there is amongst them. The condition of the people leaves much to be desired. Do you follow me? I wish I could see my way to drop it.
John, it's simply not fair to other people. It's putting property at the mercy of anyone who likes to take it.
I'm not defending him, not at all. I'm trying to look at the matter broadly.
Nonsense, John. There's a time for everything.
I might point out, sir, that to withdraw the charge of stealing would not make much difference, because the facts must come out in reference to the assault, and as I said, that charge will have to go forward.
Yes, exactly. It's entirely on the woman's account, entirely a matter of my own private feelings.
If I were you, sir, I should let things take their course. It's not likely there'll be much difficulty. These things are very quick settled.
You think so? You think so?
I say, what shall I have to swear to?
That's best known to yourself, sir. Better employ a solicitor, sir, in case anything should arise. We shall have the butler to prove the loss of the article. You'll excuse me going. I'm rather pressed tonight. The case may come on any time after 11. Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am. I shall have to produce the box in court tomorrow, so if you'll excuse me, sir, I may as well take it with me.
I do wish you'd leave me to manage things myself. You will put your nose into matters you know nothing of. A pretty mess you've made of this.
I don't in the least know what you're talking about. If you can't stand up for your rights, I can. I've no patience with your principles. It's such nonsense.
Principles? Good heavens! What have principles to do with it, for goodness sake? Don't you know that Jack was drunk last night?
Dad!
Jack!
Look here, Mother, I had supper. Everybody does. I mean to say, you know what I mean. It's absurd to call it being drunk. At Oxford, everybody gets a bit on sometimes.
Well, I think it's most dreadful, if that is really what you do at Oxford.
Well, why did you send me there? One must do as other fellows do. It's such nonsense. I mean, to call it being drunk. Of course I'm awfully sorry. I've had such a beastly headache all day.
Tch, if you'd only had the common decency to remember what happened when you came in, then we should know what truth there was in what this fellow says. As it is, it's all the most confounded darkness.
I just get a... And then, it's gone.
Oh, Jack, do you mean to say you were so tipsy you can't even remember?
Look here, Mother, of course I remember. I must have come...
Tcha! And that infernal purse. Good heavens, it'll get into the papers. Who on earth could have foreseen a thing like this? Better to have lost a dozen cigarette boxes and said nothing about it. It's all your doing. I told you from the first. I wish to goodness Roper would come.
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
No, you. You don't know anything. Where the devil is Roper? If he can see a way out of this, he's a better man than I take him for. I defy anyone to see a way out of it. I can't.
Look here, don't excite Dad. I can simply say I was too beastly tired and don't remember anything, except that I came in and went to bed the same as usual.
Went to bed? Who knows where you went? I have lost all confidence. For all I know, you slept on the floor.
I didn't. I slept on the...
Who cares where you slept? What does it matter if he mentions a perfect disgrace?
What? I insist on knowing.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean by nothing, Jack? There's your father in such a state about it.
It's only my purse.
Your purse? You know perfectly well you haven't got one.
Well, it was somebody else's. It was all a joke. I didn't want the beastly thing.
Do you mean that you had another person's purse and that this man took it too?
Tch, of course he took it too. A man like that Jones will make the most of it. It'll get into the papers.
I don't understand. What on earth is all the fuss about? Jack, now, tell me, dear. Don't be afraid. What is it? Come.
Oh, don't, Mother.
But don't what, dear?
It was pure sport. I don't know how I got the thing. Of course I'd had a bit of a row. I didn't know what I was doing. I was... Well, you know, I suppose I must have pulled the bag out of her hand.
Out of her hand? Whose hand? What bag? Whose bag?
Oh, I don't know. Her bag. Belonged to a woman.
A woman? Oh, Jack, no.
You would have it. I didn't want to tell you. It's not my fault.
Mr. Roper, sir.
How do you do? Thank goodness you've come, Roper. You remember what I told you this afternoon? We've just had the detective here. Got the box?
Yes, but look here. It wasn't the chairwoman at all. Her drunken loafer of a husband took the things. He says that fellow there let him into the house last night. Can you imagine such a thing? It's no laughing matter, Roper. I told you about that business of Jack's, too. Don't you see the brute took both the things? Took that infernal purse. It'll get into the papers. The purse. Depravity in high life. What does your son say?
He remembers nothing.
Darn, did you ever see such a mess? It'll get into the papers.
Oh, it's not that.
It's the idea of that woman. She's just heard. What on earth's to be done, Roper? A ruffian like this Jones will make all the capital he can out of that purse.
I don't believe that Jack took that purse.
What? When the woman came here for it this morning?
Here? She had the impudence? Why wasn't I told?
What's to be done, Roper? I suppose you didn't leave your latchkey in the door.
Yes, I did.
Good heavens, what's next?
I'm certain you never let that man into the house, Jack. It's a wild invention. I'm sure there's not a word of truth in it, Mr. Roper.
Where did you sleep last night?
On the sofa there. That is, I...
On the sofa? Do you mean to say you didn't go to bed?
No.
If you don't remember anything, how can you remember that?
Because I woke up there in the morning.
Oh, Jack!
Good gracious.
And Mrs. Jones saw me. I wish you wouldn't bait me so.
Do you remember giving anyone a drink?
By Jove, I do seem to remember a fellow with... A fellow with... I say, do you want me...
With a dirty face?
I do. I distinctly remember his...
You don't remember. It's ridiculous. I don't believe the man was ever here at all.
You must speak the truth, if it is the truth. But if you do remember such a dirty business, I shall wash my hands of you altogether.
Well, what the devil?
Jack!
Well, Mother, I don't know what you do want.
We want you to speak the truth and say you never let this low man into the house.
Of course, if you think that you really gave this man whiskey in that disgraceful way, and let him see what you'd been doing, and were in such a disgusting condition that you don't remember a word of it.
I've no memory myself. Never had.
I don't know what you're to say.
Say nothing at all. Don't put yourself in a false position. The man stole the things, or the woman stole the things. You had nothing to do with it. You were asleep on the sofa.
Your leaving the latchkey in the door was quite bad enough. There's no need to mention anything else. My dear, how hot your head is.
But I want to know what I'm to do. I won't be badgered like this.
You forget all about it. You are asleep.
Must I go down to the court tomorrow?
No.
Is that so?
Yes.
But you'll go, Roper?
Yes.
Thanks awfully, so long as I don't have to go. I think if you'll excuse me, I've had a most beastly day.
Good night, my boy.
Good night, Mother.
He gets off too easily, but for my money that woman would have prosecuted him.
You find money useful.
I've my doubts whether we ought to hide the truth. There'll be a remand.
What? Do you mean he'll have to appear on the remand?
Yes.
I thought you'd be able to. Look here, Roper, you must keep that purse out of the papers.
Mr. Roper, don't you think the magistrate ought to be told what sort of people these Joneses are? I mean, about their immorality before they were married? I don't know if John told you.
Afraid it's not material.
Not material?
Purely private life. May have happened to the magistrate.
Then you'll take the thing into your hands?
If the gods are kind.
Kind, eh? What? You going?
Yes, I have another case. Something like yours, most unexpected.
There'll be a scandal.
I simply can't imagine what Roper means by making a joke of a thing like that.
You can't imagine anything. You've no more imagination than a fly.
You dare to tell me that I have no imagination?
I'm upset. From beginning to end, the whole thing has been utterly against my principles.
Rubbish, you haven't any. Your principles are nothing in the world but sheer fright.
I've never been frightened in my life. You heard what Roper said. It's enough to upset one when a thing like this happens. Everything one says and does seems to turn in one's mouth. It's uncanny. It's not the sort of thing I've been accustomed to. What's that?
I can't stand that crying. I must send Marlow to stop it. My nerves are all on edge.
I'll shut the window. You'll hear nothing.
That's no good. It's on my nerves. Nothing upsets me like a child's crying. What's that noise of crying, Marlow? It sounds like a child.
It is a child. I can see it against the railings. It's Mrs. Jones's little boy, ma'am. He came here after his mother.
Poor little chap. John, we oughtn't to go on with this.
Ah, but it's out of our hands.